This is Mark Strassman, a reporter with Utopia Media's Technology Products World. We're about to talk to Brad Treat, who's the CEO of SiteSpeed. Welcome to Utopia Media's Technology Products World.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here this afternoon.
Could you tell us just a little bit about the origins of SiteSpeed, the company, and then we'll talk a little bit about the origins of the software that it uses, or you can combine your answers to those two questions?
Well, SiteSpeed was born out of research at Cornell University. So my co-founders, a gentleman named Toby Berger, professor at Cornell, and his student protege, Aaron Rosenberg, had been doing research into human perception and advanced communications. And in that lab work, they decided that the way visual communications had been done to date was fundamentally flawed. So as good university people are to do, they started with a clean sheet of paper and started over.
Okay, what did they find were the sort of what was lacking in digital communication hitherto for?
Well, what they found is that many of the existing approaches were very computer-centric, but the end user is a human, and the human eye and the human brain and how people gather visual information is different than the way a machine would maybe look at something. Machines look at things and look at visual images and blocks, where the human eye actually looks for curves and edges, as an example.
Okay, so they brought some psychologists in along with the electrical and computer science engineers.
He is very, very theoretical approach to it. The computer science followed the theory, simple
right.
implementation of the theory.
Right.
One of the key things in visual communications is that the cues that we pick up visually are about emotion, and emotion is largely relayed through motion. So motion equals emotion.
Right.
And so the subtleties of motion mean a lot in the emotion that you're transmitting to the other person.
Okay.
You're oftentimes doing it subconsciously. You can just think of something as simple as nodding your head. The speed at which somebody nods their head and how vigorously they do it tells a lot. I could nod my head 20 different ways and send you 20 different visual messages, and it's all in the subtleties of that motion.
This is all what the psychologists call nonverbal communication.
Exactly. Yes. So
now,
very familiar with it.
Where does the issue of latency, which is a technical issue, but it's also a psychological issue, what is latency and how does that play into this?
Well, latency in technical terms is the amount of time it takes for a transmission to occur. So from the time it takes my voice to enter this telephone and get to your ear, or in a visual communication, the time it takes from the camera to capture it to the time it appears on your screen, that is latency, that delay.
Okay.
It's extremely important in communications where it's interactive, because people give and take constantly when they are communicating. So you think about when you're talking to somebody and they're nodding their head along with you, or when we're on the telephone, we sort of visually nod. We do things like mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this sort of give and take, in natural conversations, that is the way people communicate. They interact constantly on this almost subconscious level, and then they do it more aggressively on the way they react to people's comments or things they say, or even in what our parents told us not to do, interrupting each other.
So in fact, what specifically makes for the quality of human interaction in a face-to-face basis is both the ability to see the other person's expressions or movements and the speed at which they're transmitted and received.
Exactly. I want to see how you react when I say something. I don't want to see it a half second later.
Right.
It doesn't seem natural. And then we can't, our subconscious doesn't associate your reaction with what happened a half second ago. It seems bizarre.
Right.
Now, I want to tell you a joke and I want to see you laugh, or I want to ask you a question and really get your reaction. I mean, a lot of times people's facial expressions and their reaction answer the question before their lips move.
Right. And in fact, a speaker would want to be able to modify his or her sentence in mid-course, even, depending on whether what they've said in the first part of the sentence is getting through or being ignored or being appreciated or whatever, right?
Precisely, yes. People, it's natural that during the course of a conversation, even when you have a presenter, they're looking for reactions to to be able to gauge whether their response is taking hold.
Right. And all of these reactions and this form of interaction has evolved over hundreds of thousands or millions of years of human evolution.
Yes.
And technology to do this communication has been about a century and a quarter, century and a half since Bell invented, well, if you go all the way back, I guess, to the telegraph in 1844, it's only been 160 years since we've been doing any kind of distance communication like that.
Right, electronically. I mean, but yeah, people have a desire to communicate.
Okay, so what were the findings or discoveries or recommendations of the Cornell academic research?
Well, I think you hit on them right there. With one of them is you can't have delay. Communications can't be delayed. That's simply unacceptable. It's no longer communication. It's just two-way soapboxing, if you will.
It's asynchronous. You might as well be sending letters.
You might as well be sending letters, right? And so that was one of the first things. You can't, the delay is completely unacceptable.
Okay.
The second is the value of visual communication is in the emotion. It's in this non-spoken. And so that is largely represented through motion. And so there's all these technical terms I could throw at you, but it basically means you have to have enough motion that you can see the subtleties of motion. And you kind of moving these words back and forth.
There's a threshold level of motion that's necessary to convey the emotion.
Right.
And you have to be able to perceive that.
Precisely. And if you're not sending motion or full motion, all you're doing is letting somebody see what the other person looks like. So if I can see what you look like, that's one thing. But if I can see how you react, if I can see your emotion, and I can see it as we are interacting, the latency, then you're really adding value to the communication.
Do they do tests, trials, to see how much could be communicated and the differences when more or less motion was transmitted?
They did. They did a significant amount of research into this area, and we could quantify that. And this is actually tied right to the way our televisions work. It's smooth motion, in technical terms, means 30 frames per second.
Right.
And if you think about that, if I were to say to you, 10 frames a second, and you are not an engineering type person, you go, you're doing something 10 times a second. Gee, that's a lot. But the human eye can pick up much more information than that. So 30 times a second is the same speed as the television. So you need to actually capture 30 times a second and deliver that across the wire 30 times a second.
Right, no, in fact, film works at 24 frames per second, right?
And the reason you can do that is the eye works differently when it's in a dark room than when it's in a lit room.
Okay.
So I'll go off on a bit of a side, but movies are 24 frames a second because they're shown in dark rooms.
Right.
And if you ever notice, like at the beginning of a theater, or maybe if a theater flips its lights on, all of a sudden the movie seems to be flickering. But when the lights are off, it doesn't flicker.
I hadn't noticed that, but I'll look next time.
Look for it. It's actually very real. So the human eye works in a different way depending on whether there's exterior light or interior light. And this is all at a very high level, the type of research that originated SightSpeed. And so people are going to use visual communications more often than not in a lit room.
Right.
And this is the reason televisions are also 30 frames.
Okay, now I don't want to get too far afield and I don't want to get something wrong here, but I'm wondering if this is also relevant. I'm reading a book called Fantastic Voyage by Ray Kurzweil and Terry Grossman, and they mentioned in passing that the human brain functions at about 200 processes a second. And I'm wondering if with that essential, that CPU speed, that clock speed of 200 cycles a second, that this 24 frames or the 30 frames per second sort of takes about 10 processing cycles per, and as a result, people need that as the minimum to essentially fool their brain into thinking that they're seeing something that they can really interact with.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense, Mark, because what I just described is the way in which the brain captures the information.
Right.
And then from there, it's got to process it. So not only are our eyes and ears capturing all this information.
Right.
We're simultaneously processing it and saying, what does this mean? His head is moving up and down. And how fast is it moving
up? So it needs to get a new image about every 10 cycles. And if it's getting it more slowly and it goes to 11, 12, 13 cycles, it says, this must be just some static thing at that point.
Or it's going to fill in the gaps.
It has to fill in the gaps with imagination or something, and that uses up, and so on. So As a result of all that research, then, how did it end up as a company in Berkeley?
Well, yeah, that's where the story now gets in a little more interesting. So we began with this great research, and we had some early prototypes, and we said, wow, this is really compelling. We show it to people, and they go, I would use that. And we met some venture backers, a group called the Rota Group. Rota Group is most famous for being the initial backers behind Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves,
right.
the search engine.
Right.
Very similar origins. Ask Jeeves came out of university research, in their case out of the University of California, Berkeley. And so the Rota Group, Rota investors, have done other university technologies and said, hey, there's a lot of similarities here to the work we did at Ask Jeeves. This looks like the kind of company we'd like to back.
Now, did you go to the people at Cornell? Did they come to you? How did you two parties get together?
Well, we got the three founders. I was the third. I was also at Cornell as a student. In this case, I was in the business school.
Oh, okay. So essentially there was the computer scientists and psychologists, and you were in the business school, and the three of you got together.
That's right.
And saw that there was a potential for a company.
We got together and said, hey, we got something here.
Okay. And then you went to the venture capitalists.
And then I went out and beat the pavement, found the VCs, and raised some money so we could hire some more programmers and to get the company off the ground and say, hey, let's take this laboratory project and turn it into a robust project. And with that, we moved to California. Okay. Our principal investors are in California.
This was also the process that turned Mosaic into Netscape.
Very good example.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
just to give a good example.
This is a model that has worked for others in the past. Go find some hot university research, bring them out to the Bay Area,
right,
and turn it from a university lab project into a commercial product.
Okay, when did that transition take place?
So we moved to California in January of 2003.
All right. And why'd you pick Berkeley instead of Palo Alto?
We're university people. We like the university town.
Okay.
And that had a lot to do with it.
Okay. Rent's cheaper in Berkeley than in Palo Alto, too, I think.
Rent's cheaper. We definitely don't like this. We didn't have a kickoff launch party or anything like that.
Right.
Like the Pinter Pennies.
Okay. So when the company got started, what was its mission, or what goals had you set for yourself?
The initial goal was to take our very sexy but not commercial-ready offering and turn it into a commercial product. To sort of take all of our concepts and turn it into a robust commercial product.
Were these concepts patentable? Were they patented?
Yes and yes.
And all of those were transferred so that they're now part of the SiteSpeed? Or have you licensed it from Cornell? Or what's the arrangement with that?
Yes, we have a license with Cornell. And then in addition, the company has continued to create new intellectual property with our own portfolio of patents.
Okay.
And additional trade secrets.
Okay. And when did you start offering something to the public?
So the first version, we had a free prototype that we started offering just anybody who happened to stumble upon us in February of 2003.
Okay.
Our first paid product, SiteSpeed version 1.0, was available in August of 2003.
Okay.
And that sort of, I guess, opened us up to the world. And that was the offering, SiteSpeed 1.0, that gained us immediate recognition because PC Magazine recognized this as first the best offering in the space. So our new company with our new product was now the new standard to beat.
Right.
And so we won the Editor's Choice Award. And they followed that up by nominating SiteSpeed as one of the most innovative technologies of the year of 2003.
All right.
So we came out of the gate with some tremendous recognition for just the technical performance, and something else we also emphasized was ease of use. One thing people notice about SiteSpeed is you don't have to be an electrical engineer to use this thing.
Right.
And this also goes all the way back to our research and said, who is really interested in seeing people they talk to?
Right.
And it comes back to emotion. You want to see and talk to the people who matter the most. See and talk to the people who you care about, typically family members, loved ones, and therein lies our target market, but also how we have to design the product, which is it's got to be easy for people to use.
Okay. Now, has that worked out in practice? Are most of the people who are now using the system families wanting to see relatives or businesses wanting to do deals and exchange information?
It's families. It's family. One of the interesting statistics that about our user community is that 12% of our subscribers are retired.
Really?
So you think about people have this idea of technical products or all these 13-year-olds
right.
in their basement doing stuff. But from a user standpoint, if you think about who wants to use it, grandma wants to see the kids.
Right.
Grandma's down in Boca Raton and the kids are up in Schenectady.
Right.
So she wants to see them every single day.
Right.
And this is who our customer is. And so we have to continue to drive the product to be more simple and more accessible. So we have a Mac and a Windows version. The two are interoperable. And many, 9% of our subscribers are on Macs. And they are using it. We even asked them, how do you use this? To see the family members who are away from us. They're still in our hearts, but they're separated by some distance. Not uncommon for them to use it outside the country. Half the people who use SiteSpeed are outside the United States.
Okay.
A lot of people using it with their friends back in the U.S. or over countries' borders. They're long ways away, but they want to talk to people they really care about.
And no passport control and no waiting in line for 2 hours and no strip searches in order to go traveling.
All of the above.
Okay. So now talk about how SiteSpeed 1.0 evolved into the current version and what changes were made to upgrade it.
Well, what happened from 1.0 to our current 3.0 is we have a really great user community. And we talk to them every single day, literally. SiteSpeed has live customer service that we put on every single person's contact list. So if you go to our website, sitespeed.com, that's S-I-G-H-T speed, you can download, we have a free version that you can use every single day, and on that contact list we add support. And a lot of times people call and just say, hey, this is really cool. And we talk to those people, and they tell us we'll say to them, what do you guys want to see? What else do you want to see in this product? And that user community has continued to help us build a better product. And I'll tell you where it's gone here, Mark, is that it's really the phone analogy. You know, we view SiteSpeed, and our users view SiteSpeed, as a way to use your computer as a video phone. So it's if you think about a phone analogy, you'd say, well, what does a phone have? Well, a phone has an answer machine. So SiteSpeed built in the ability to have an answer machine. Right on your computer. And that's an audio-video answer machine where if I contact somebody and they're not available, I can record and leave them a message.
Now, that's more like, works like the call center rather than a answer machine on your desk, right? Because those video clips are stored on your servers?
Well, we do store them so that people can access them from wherever they may be.
Right.
And so that was really around the ease of use. We also built the ability to record and send people those messages by way of link in an email. Really taking that concept and saying, how simple can we make it?
Say a little bit about that. Let's say I know a person and they don't have a camera. We're going to get to cameras in a minute. But I want them to see how good it is so they can get a camera and so we can talk. What do I do to bring them into the community?
Well, one very common way people do it is they will record and send what we call video mail. And so I have a camera and I'm going to send it to you. And I don't know if you have a camera or not. So I just press the video mail button and I can record a short clip and then enter your email address and you'll receive in your inbox a note that says, Brad has sent you a video mail message. Click here to view it.
Right.
So what I just sent you was just a link. I didn't actually send you the whole file.
Which saves time and the transmission and the storage and all kinds of complications.
All that other complicated stuff, and then you can click it at your convenience.
Right. And then when I click that, I go to the SiteSpeed server and get to see the recorded video message.
And it plays back in your default media player. So you don't have to download anything or sign up for anything. It works on both Mac and Windows.
Right.
In the default browser, in the default player. So
okay.
If you have a QuickTime or Windows or Reel or whatever your default is, it'll play into there.
Okay, when the person does that and says, okay, then can I then contact, so if they then want to download the SiteSpeed software, they have an opportunity to do that connected to the video mail they've just gotten?
That's right. There's an invitation right there that says, hey, isn't this cool? Click here to learn more.
Okay, so when you go there to learn more, we're going to sort of walk people through that now. What do they get when they get to the SiteSpeed.com site? That's, of course, SiteSpeed.com.
Right. Yes. So there is the opportunity. Many people look at the features, and they look at all the things that SiteSpeed does. And there is a free download, and we have a free basic version that they can use every single day. It's not some trial period that runs out. You can use SiteSpeed for free every single day. And what that free version has is it has unlimited audio. So some people use it as an audio-only phone, and it has up to 15 minutes of video per day.
Right.
And that's all for free, and it also has video mail that you can use every single day for free.
And does your video mail use up part of your 15 minutes, or is that 15 minutes of live conversation?
15 minutes of live conversation.
Can you send unlimited video mail?
No, on the free version.
On the free version?
It's one video mail per day.
Okay, one video mail in 15 minutes.
That's right.
And you can do that every day from now until the end of time, and it doesn't cost you anything?
Every single day.
Okay. Well, let's say you want to, you're finding it's almost indispensable from the beginning. What are the levels that you can upgrade to, and how much do they cost?
Well, the next level, and our most popular plan, is what we call our Freedom Plan. And for $4.95, so $5 a month, people can have not only unlimited audio, but unlimited video, and they give a much bigger cachet of 100 video mails per month.
Are you saying they can do unlimited video conferencing for $5 a month?
Unlimited video calling, video conferencing for $5 a month. And, Mark, in that scenario, only one person in the call has to be a subscriber. So let's say I'm a subscriber and you're one of the people using the free basic version.
Right.
If you're talking to me, regardless of who started the call,
right,
it's unlimited two-way audio and video.
So I can then, call you, and we're going to talk in a minute about how I, quote, call you, and you don't have to, so I can call someone who's not a subscriber, and when I am, I'm paying $5 a month, and then they have a camera, I have a camera, we can do video conferencing all day long, all night long?
All day long, all night long, and that's typically how people use them. Our average call length is 29 minutes.
Right.
So when people use SiteSpeed, man, they really use it.
Well, this is cheaper than a basic Lifeline telephone service.
It's exactly. It's that cheap. And it's also, because it's a flat rate,
right,
you can actually just turn it on and leave it on. We do know some people who just turn it on and leave it on.
Okay. Now, is it necessary that you said that both participants in the conversation don't need to be subscribers, just one is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Do both parties need to have broadband connections?
Well, broadband is not required. However, the experience is much better on broadband. So SiteSpeed will work all the way down to an 8 kilobit per second dial-up connection.
Right.
And that will give you full audio.
Right.
And what we call video every now and then.
Right.
And so that's more of a snapshot.
That's kind of a high latency mode.
Yes. So it's not a smooth motion experience. And so we as a company said, well, this doesn't fit our research, but our customers said, give me the dial-up option. This is why talking to your customers every single day is so important.
Right.
They said, I understand that it'll be audio with video every now and then, but I still want to be able to contact these people.
Okay. Now, we've said that it'll run on really slow dial-up. It'll run on a good broadband. It doesn't matter if that broadband is DSL, cable modem, satellite, broadband over power line, or wireless, does it?
People use it for all of those.
So that means that the system works just as well on a good broadband wireless connection as it does on a fixed one.
It'll even work on a bad broadband wireless connection.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So SiteSpeed, one of the things that we've really worked on and have a whole patent portfolio around, is how we can deliver an outstanding experience even on a low-quality connection. And I think wireless is a great example. So think of an 802.11 wireless.
Right.
We have found that these T-Mobile hotspots at Starbucks are a really fun place to use SiteSpeed.
Right.
But the internet connection can get a little shaky every time the Frappuccino machine goes off.
Right.
So in that environment, SiteSpeed is actually designed to be extremely resilient to either packet loss or changes in bandwidth quality or some of the other variables that impact in-network connection.
So it'll do the best it can with what it's got.
And it's got the intelligence in there to automatically adjust. Because once again, you come back to our who our user is.
Right.
Our user doesn't understand all the variations and subtleties of a network connection.
Right.
So you have to have a piece of software that can just do it for them.
Okay.
When it's all said and done, they just want to see the kids. They just want to see grandma. They don't want to know what's my packet loss rate or what's right. my jitter buffer or any of this stuff.
Right.
They just want to see the kids.
Let's talk a little bit about the very easy steps that people need to do this. Let's say I want to put someone on my list so that I can send them a video mail, or I want to set up a teleconference with them. Walk us through, once the software has been downloaded to the user, what do they do to sign other people up or to put other people on their contact list?
Well, we use email addresses as a unique identifier.
Okay.
And so people can add other folks to their list who have already signed up for SiteSpeed using their email address. If that person isn't available, they have the option of sending an invitation. And that invitation will let the other person know everything they need to get started. And so it's very common that our users invite other users who invite other users.
Okay. So, in fact, if I wanted to take my whole Rolodex with several thousand people and take all of those and put them on the list and send them all an invitation with one recorded video message, I could do that.
Oh, we'd love it if you did.
Okay. And then they would receive my video image in that clip, and they would receive a link that would let them sign up themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
You want to say anything about how many users you've got overall? Use it in a month and that kind of stuff, or are you still holding on to that information?
Well, we are a privately held company, and our board likes to keep our numbers a little close to the chest.
Okay. What? Yeah.
And in part, they came out of sort of the dot-com wackiness.
Right.
And they saw people measuring the company on things that didn't measure.
Okay.
And so what that we focus on right now is we offer a very straightforward offering to our customers.
Okay. Speaking of being a private company, what are your plans to go public, if any?
Well, we're intending to continue to grow the company.
Right.
And we will look at different reasons for funding events as they occur.
Right.
So the company doesn't have any near-term plans for going public, nor is the company in any mode to shop around for acquisitions. The type of investors we have are patient, long-term investors.
Okay, well, that's a good kind. Now, does the board meet on SiteSpeed? And say, and apropos of that, can more than two people participate in these conferences?
Well, it's interesting you say that. We actually did have our last board meeting using SiteSpeed's multi-party function.
How does that work?
And so you can get up to four people simultaneously on a call.
Right.
And it works right into the same interface. There's a button that says a multi-party, which you can click on, and you can invite three other people. So it's you plus three others, and they will receive an invitation that says click here to enter the multi-party group. And you can imagine a screen being split into four quadrants, and each person appears in one of the quadrants.
And if you've only got three people, it'll split into three, or one's blank, or how does that work?
Exactly, one of the spots is
okay.
Blank.
Now, I spoke earlier today to someone at Vonage,
mm-hmm.
and they told me that they've formed an agreement with Vizion to compete with you guys. What can you say about that, if anything?
Well, I think it's a great sign. So, Vonage is going to be selling the Vizion hardware video phone.
Right.
And they have not actually released pricing and details on that yet. So one of the things that says is, hey, people are raising their awareness of these type of communications are going to be now possible for consumers.
Is Vizion a hardware company or a software company?
Well, Vizion is a publicly traded company that has a patent portfolio on various technologies around visual communications.
Right.
And I believe they innovate and have built for them video phones by other people.
Okay. Now, presumably, they don't have the patents on the kind of video, I guess we could call it video ergonomics that you do, right?
And it's a very different problem that they're solving. So what they're doing is they're taking a standalone device, a standalone piece of hardware,
right,
that will have everything you need to use as a video phone.
Right.
And that'll...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Where SiteSpeed allows you to use the computer and internet connection you already have.
Right.
And so you can imagine a hardware video phone. There's a company out there in the market now called Packet 8.
Okay.
That has been selling hardware video phones for about 9 months. And those hardware video phones retail for about $500.
Right.
And then there's a service plan that comes with them, which is about $40 a month.
Right.
And so you can use that also as a replacement for your regular telephone, which is nice. But it also enables you, when you're calling another phone, the other same exact phone,
right,
to have video calls.
Now, there's a company called UTS Starcom,
mm-hmm.
that's just come out with a Wi-Fi phone called the F1000,
mm-hmm.
that allows people essentially to plug into 802.11b networks,
yes.
and pretend they're calling on a cell phone. And I guess I want to raise the same issue with you that I did with the person at Advantage I was speaking to. Given that capability with the F-1000 and everything you've said about sight speed, should it be possible, is it already possible to build a version of that Wi-Fi phone that would have a video screen and that would take advantage of sight speed to let people do video conferencing on the fly, mobily, through that wireless network and handset?
Absolutely. I mean, we actually have that in our lab now. Working.
Yes.
With our current roadmap has us rolling that out later this year.
Okay, so that's good. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to do my interviews while I'm walking around the track or through the woods.
Precisely.
And do it that way. Okay, any other hints as to the other future directions you're going to be going in, either commercially or technically? And before we do that, we stop with the programs at about $5 a month. What can you get if you want to spend more money?
So the next program up is one that gives you unlimited multi-party.
Right.
And even more expanded cache of video mail.
Right.
At $15 a month.
$15. Okay, is that the top of the line service?
We do have another service above and beyond that. That is $55 a month.
Right.
And that is with a tremendous cache of video mail and your own customized website. And so one of the things that you can do with SiteSpeed, a feature I did not hit on, is you can have people call you through a web browser. And every single user, paid or free, has their own unique website on SiteSpeed.
Right.
And people, you can send that URL to others, and they can contact you directly. They don't have to have signed up for anything. Don't even have to have ever heard of SiteSpeed. You can just send them a link, and they can connect directly. So one option we spoke about earlier is a way that people can sign up and download those sorts of things that they're used to.
Right.
But we've also made it so they can just call you instantly.
And when you say call, you mean off their computers?
Right from Internet Explorer.
Right.
They can make a live audio-video call to you. It's two-way.
Okay.
If they have a camera, we'll auto-detect it. If they have a microphone, we'll auto-detect it. If they have a headset or speakers, we'll auto-detect it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you run that from your server?
It is... how we do it is yes. The short answer is yes.
Right, okay. and that's for $55 a month?
$55 for the customization of that.
Right.
Every single person has their own page.
Right.
A customized pages where you can put your own logo. We have companies who do this.
Right.
Companies who want to reach out to their customers through a website in a live audio video.
Right.
They want it to have their branding and their look and feel. And then that's what we're offering.
So that means customers for a company, and let me be so bold as to suggest the government of some progressive jurisdiction, maybe the city of Berkeley, who knows, can sign itself up this way so the people who want to call in and complain about potholes can do it that way and be live in two-way video with the constituents and the government talking to each other?
Well, that's one way you could use it. Maybe I give you a more practical
okay.
application in that we have a gentleman who teaches people guitar using SiteSpeed.
I'm sorry, to do what?
A guitar. Play guitar.
Oh, guitar, right.
And so what he does is he points the... So he has his own unique website with his own custom branding and whatnot.
Right.
And he just sends his students to that website. So they don't have to get signed up or do any of that. They just go right to this... It's a button on his website. So they click here to start lesson. And what they do is they'll be connected to him and his webcam. And what he does is he points the camera at his fingers.
Right.
And so the people can play along. You can literally code jam, if you will, on
right.
the guitar, and you can look at the instructor's fingers and look how he's pressing the chords, and you can play along. And he literally teaches guitar from his computer.
No, and that's live.
Live.
And can he have multiple students watching at once?
I think he does one-on-one. The short answer is no. It's actually designed to be more personal than that.
Can teachers use this, preachers use this, to reach more than one person, or they're limited on either one-to-one or as part of a four-way conversation?
It's really limited to a four-way. So I think a broadcasting application is technically a very separate implementation.
And not what you're doing.
Not what we're doing. Somebody
okay.
like a Reel is doing that kind of live streaming.
Right.
We're really focusing on communication.
Okay. Speaking of communication, I'm not sure where I became aware of this. I think it was while I was Googling SiteSpeed. People who are deaf or otherwise hearing impaired can set themselves up this way and then sign using American Sign Language and be free of all the encumbrances of the TTD, TTD, TTY, all of the complicated arrangements that they and expensive arrangements they may have to use now. Is that right?
We have had rave reviews from members of the deaf community who like the fact that, one, it has the high motion.
Right.
And if you ever watch it, a hearing impaired person do sign language, their hands move so fast.
Right.
They look like magicians.
Right.
And this, so they love the high motion. They also like the fact that there's very little negligible latency.
Right.
And so just like you and I in a conversation may interrupt each other, deaf people interrupt each other as well, and they do it visually.
Okay.
They put up their hand and say, I'm going to interrupt you, and just start signing away.
And that's caught on pretty heavily in the deaf community.
And they love using it, and we continue to get great reviews. So it's, you know, it's implementations like that where you go, you know, I'm really touching people. And that's why we're so excited about it, because when we see, you think about an average call length of 29 minutes, when people are using it that much, and you hear about people who are deaf who now can communicate in a way that's natural for them. They're not. It's not natural to type into a TTY or tap away like that. Now I can sign to my friends, or I can see my kids in the snow when I'm hanging down in Boca Raton. Or
we
get these great stories, or great kind of tear jerking way about people who maybe don't have an option of getting out. They're somehow bedridden or trapped in their house because of limited mobility.
Or it's raining for 2 weeks in Los Angeles or something.
Or yeah, I mean it's fitting that SightSpeed came out of research at Cornell where you. It's not uncommon to get snowed in.
Right.
So here's a way that you can have that personal communication out to your loved ones, whatever the situation may be.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for communicating with us and our listeners, and I'm going to get back to work on figuring out a way so that we can do this in video as well as audio.
Well, great, Mark.
And we'll check back in again when we can do that or maybe sooner and talk some more about SightSpeed and everything it can do. Why don't you just one more time give the URL for people who listen to this and say, well, I want to find out more.
Well, you can find out more at our website. It's SightSpeed.com. That's S-I-G-H-T, speed.com. And the SightSpeed software is free to download and free to use every single day. So I encourage people to take it for a whirl. Find out why PC Magazine and PC World have considered this one of the top products in the world right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to us on Utopia Media today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mark.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.